Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoyed this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Collin.
Would you open God's book, please, to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9? Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You ever known about somebody who just got burned out and what he did? Sometimes professionals do. I know a man in Jasper, Alabama, member of the body of Christ and a very successful physician, emergency room doctor, good at it, respected. But he just got his fill. He just got so tired of lawsuits and malpractice things and insurance and problems, and it just wasn't worth it anymore. And so he walked away and started a different business totally unrelated to medicine. I heard of a lawyer one time who, because of the frustrations attached to that job, walked away from it and started a logging business, and he drove a logging truck. You ever hear of a school teacher who just got burned out with the problems, the hardships attached to being a school teacher, and just decided to call it quits? I read a statistic not long ago which said that we lose, now I don't pretend to like this, I don't like it, but I'm going to say it, that in the church we lose about 50% of our young people when they grow up and leave home. About 50% to the world. Now, you know, here at West Huntsville, we don't believe in that, because we can't afford to lose one of ours. We don't want to lose one of them. Look at all of these young people to decide which 50% do you think would be all right to lose to the world. You okay with that? No, we narrow it down. Which 10%? Which one? Now, listen to me, young people. Before I leave that point, I don't want you to, first of all, think about your neighbor and say, I can't bear to think that he or she would ever leave the Lord and become unfaithful to his church. I want you to put that aside for a minute and think about you, and I want you to make a vow in your heart, a sacred vow. Oh Lord, I will never let it be me. I will make sure it's never me. I will always stay faithful to my Lord and to his church. I will always do that. But that's beside my point. My point is that sometimes people get burned out in various different walks of life. And the Lord knew that was going to happen, and so He gave us this passage of Scripture. Now, there are three different levels of burnout, if you please, described in this passage. Growing weary and fainting, and then finally, Galatians 6:1, being overcome. Now, these are different levels of this thing. So, you think about growing weary. You ever grow weary in what you do? Well, yeah. Well, sure, we all do, I suppose, sometimes. I have a close friend who lives in Gwin, Alabama. He's a CPA. He's a gospel preacher, a good man. But you know what? I don't call him in the first couple of weeks of April unless it's an emergency, because I know he's burdened. He's weary. Sometimes our college students, and we have lots of college students in the West Huntsville family, you can just about look at one of these kids and tell when they've come to the end of finals week, because they are so sleep-deprived. I mean, they can just barely walk. They're weary. They're weary. But what this verse says is, don't grow weary in well-doing. You think people ever grow weary doing good things? Yeah. Jerry Anderson is here, and Brother Anderson is Nathan's dad. Brother Anderson's a deacon for the Westside Church in Salem, Virginia. A great friend of mine. When I used to live there, why, I studied with a man every Thursday night for quite a number of weeks. We'd bring our supper to the church building every Thursday night, and I told him, wasn't a member of the body, I said, we'll study whatever part of the Bible you want to study. and I was hoping to convert him. And I declare he would go to all sorts of different rabbit trails. I'd get him just about to the point where he's ready to obey the gospel, and he would say, "Well, now, could we study the difference between the soul and the spirit?" That's a very interesting discussion, but hardly has a bearing on whether or not a man goes to heaven. Anyway, ultimately he did obey the gospel, but not before he made me weary, because we went into all sorts of different directions. You ever try to restore the law? Someone who at one time was a faithful member of the body? You know, one of the challenges of serving as an elder is that, you know, it's our responsibility to go and try to win back those who have become unfaithful. And most of the time, much of the time, why we're able to be successful with the Lord's help, but sometimes the people's heart have, well, it's just gone hard. And you ever knock on the door and have someone peek out the curtain just a little bit, don't think that you can see them, and then they don't open the door because they just don't want to talk to you? Well, now, you know what? If you're a shepherd over that person's soul, that's weariness right there. That's weariness. And it's getting weary in well-doing. That's what that is. Brother Chuck and a number of you work in some capacity in our benevolence program. And I'm going to tell you something. That sometimes can get weary. You work with people, and so often you're going to trust someone and then they lie to you. You help them because you believe in them, and then it turns out the whole thing was bogus to begin with. And you could become cynical and weary doing that. And of course, that wouldn't be good. What he says here is that we can grow weary in well-doing. Now, here's the second level of this thing. Faint. He says, you don't go grow weary in well-doing, because in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You ever faint? Have you ever gotten ill and fainted? I think one time in my life I did. What? I suppose I've conducted about as many wedding ceremonies as most preachers. I've only lost one groom that I can remember. I did hear, however, about a wedding, sure enough, where the bride just passed out, you know, and that becomes very serious because it complicates the whole wedding thing, you know. She just fainted right away. I heard of a bridesmaid that fainted one time, and they just rolled her under a pew and left her there for the balance of the ceremony. She wasn't essential to the whole thing. You know, sometimes people faint spiritually. What would it mean to faint spiritually? Well, I suppose if you got to the point in your life spiritually where you come to a worship assembly such as this one, and you sing these great songs, but it doesn't stir your heart, you're fainting. That's what's happening. Maybe you could get to the point where you hear a gospel sermon, and really whether or not you liked that sermon hinged on the oratorical ability of the one doing the speaking, whether or not he was on today and doing his best, or whether it's an off day for him, or whatever it happens to be, and not really about the message, and that this was from the Word of God. What's happening? Well, I'm fainting spiritually. And sometimes that happens to people. We think about the beautiful communion of our Lord that we eat together on the first day of the week, and we can even get to the place where we can drink that wine, and it just doesn't stir our hearts anymore. We can eat that bread, the unleavened bread, and we can go through those motions, but it doesn't stir us anymore. What's happening is that we're fainting. And the next one, the last one, is to be overcome. In Galatians 6 and 1, he said, "Now, it's possible for a man to be overcome. You with your spiritual, try to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, because a man can be overcome." And under what circumstances does that happen? Well, we wrestle with temptation. We fight against it. And sometimes people give up. They just get so tired of fighting it. Maybe when I was converted, I was in from a whole different culture of life, and I was so wrapped up in this sin. And now I've repented of that, and I've become a Christian, but I'm still so attached to those things that they still call to me. I developed those appetites and those different ties that bind me to that, and I become overcome with it again. When Paul wrote this passage in Galatians 6 and 9, there were three different issues that the people were dealing with that he had to address. Don't grow weary in well-doing. If you keep on, don't faint, because you'll ultimately succeed. there were three different issues, three different sources of this kind of burnout that happened spiritually. Look at chapter 5 and verse 7. Here's the first one. And it's true with us too. What causes these kinds of burdens in our lives? Paul says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Sometimes it's people. Sometimes there are people in my life that cause me to be greatly discouraged, that bring this heaviness on me. Sometimes it's people. Paul talked about this in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, and he said, you know, if we or even an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, because there are false teachers. And sometimes people bring false doctrine, and I declare when it happens, it divides churches. You ever known of a church that divided because of false teachings? You have. You've known of churches that split down the middle because somebody introduced false doctrines, and sometimes it's those kinds of things that trouble the church. Sometimes it's people. Sometimes it may be somebody to whom you're very close, maybe a spouse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says he's writing to a woman who's a Christian, but her husband's an unbeliever. And the question he's faced with is, what if my unbelieving husband says, either you give up this Christianity business or I'm going to leave you? And Paul says, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. And you've got to stick with Christ, because you may be able to convert this one. And that's the objective. You may be able to convert him. You say to him, I love you. I want you to stay with me. I want to be a good spouse to you. But I can't give up Christ. I've got to put Christ first. Can you just imagine such a circumstance? Some of you can. And how heavy that burden would be to bear. Sometimes our burden is brought on by people. Now, go back to Galatians 5 with me. Here's the people and what they were facing, the people to whom Paul wrote. Here's chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right? In this case, the men were hurting them. People were hurting them. That was the source of their problems. He says, you know, you have liberty in Christ Jesus. In verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, we've got liberty in Christ Jesus. Remember over in Romans chapter 6, and he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, no. In this passage, similar thing. We've got liberty in Christ Jesus. Does that give me license to say anything I want at any time to anybody? That was a problem that was hurting these Christians. They were under burden because people were saying things to them that were hurtful. Did you ever have anybody say something to you that was hurtful in the church? You ever face that? Did you ever carry a burden like that? And he responded by saying, you know, you've got to be careful not to bite one another, because you could be devoured, you could be consumed one of another. You can't let that happen. All right. Here are the three levels of this. There's weariness and fainting and then being overcome. What's the source of this? Sometimes the source of our burdens is people and false doctrines or harsh words or family members. Sometimes it's problems in our families that bring these burdens on us. But sometimes it's not about that at all. Sometimes, and drop down with me to verse, let's look at verse 17. Sometimes it has to do with the flesh and the temptations that we struggle with. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And sometimes it's that battle that we fight. There's an old Scottish proverb that says, every man is in a constant civil war inside of himself. The flesh versus the Spirit. That flesh part of me, that is those things which are opposed to the things of Christ that tempt me and draw me to pull me away from what I know is right. And the other side, which of course wants to do what is good and right and noble and pleasing to God, the flesh versus the Spirit. And there's that battle that goes on. And sometimes people try to escape the battle, you know. I could just join a convent or a... I could run away. I could What if I just ran away and get behind some big wall somewhere? But you know that doesn't work, of course. Because those temptations, those things follow you in there. Right? They follow you. But Jesus went into the wilderness. Remember? But the devil followed him in there, Matthew chapter 4, and he was tempted of the devil there. The devil knows where you are. And sometimes what troubles me and what burdens us are the temptations that we face, the flesh versus the spirit. Here's one more. Look at verse 2 of chapter 6. Paul says, "Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Burdens can trouble you. I mean, just burdens that come. Have you got any burdens right now that you're bearing? That's a silly question. You know what? We all do. Did you hear what I... Of course we do. Everyone, did you hear me? Everybody in this room has, of any appreciable age, has burdens they're bearing right now. And some of them are heavy. It could be that there's someone in this room right now whose burdens are so heavy that you're really having a hard time listening to me because those things are dominating your thoughts. Job chapter 14 and verse 2 says, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." A man by the name of Peck, a Dr. Peck, recently wrote a book, The Road Less Traveled, and he quotes that verse, Job 14 and verse 2, and he begins, the first line of the book begins, "Life is difficult." Maybe it's burdens that you bear over some financial difficulty, some impasse in your life, and you just don't know how this thing's going to work out. I don't see how this thing can be. Maybe it's a family problem. Maybe some illness in your family right now, in your children, that you're having to deal with, and it's such a heavy burden, and it dominates your thoughts. Or maybe it's aged parents, and you're caring for them, and there's so many things involved in that, and you love them and want to care for them, but I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this much longer. What kind of burdens are you bearing right now? This passage encourages us to share each other's burdens, because when we do that, we divide them, and the burden gets somewhat easier, and aren't you thankful to be a Christian because we can do that? What he says here is this: I know that you're going to face burdens in your life. What I'm saying is, you can't let those make you turn loose of your grip on your hope of heaven and your dedication to Jesus Christ. Don't be weary in well-doing, because we're going to reap if we faint not. We'll reap if we faint not. You remember Winston Churchill's famous speech? At the time, people were astounded that he had come all the way and it was him, and now the speech was so short, but it's perhaps his most memorable of all. Don't give up. Never give up. Never give up. And that's what Paul is saying here. Philippians chapter 3. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Don't be weary in well-doing. There's a goal out there, and it's heaven, and it's promised to us, and we can have it. You say, "But Glenn, you don't know how hard my struggles are." Maybe not. But I know this. No matter how hard life gets for you, it's not going to be very long. The generations continue to roll on. And before us is a vast eternity. And you and I will be in that eternity, in a place of bliss, if we don't grow weary in well-doing, if we don't faint, if we're not overcome. One day we're going to travel to that land that is fairer than day. Keep your hope, your hold on the hope of heaven. Keep your hold on the things that are right and good, and never, ever, ever give up. Is there someone here who wants to obey the gospel? You see, this sermon demonstrates, of course, that being a Christian isn't a promise of an easy life, but it is an abundant one, and it's one that ultimately results in heaven because of the grace of God. I wonder if you'd like to become a Christian. Repent of your sins and tonight confess His name, and we'll baptize you into Christ, just like the Bible says, and for the reason it says, to have your sins washed away. Maybe tonight you need the prayers of Christians, maybe to be restored, or perhaps just because you need our prayers for some problem, some burden you're bearing, we'd be happy to pray with you and for you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Would you like to respond? If so, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.